I love this moment. It's great to see you all. Thank you all for coming. And again, thank you to the University of Strathclyde for funding this school as they did last time. I was looking up on the internet about 20 to 8 this morning because I suddenly thought I really should have something to say at the beginning to open this. That approximately 900 million farm animals are killed for human consumption each year in Britain. And I did some calculations, my calculator did some calculations, and that means it's something over 1,027 animals are killed per hour in this country alone. These figures remind many of us who have little actual contact with animals that are central to agricultural practice of sheep, pigs, cows, how that an engagement with the animals, this realm that they live in, is absolutely central to thinking about broader questions of human-animal relations, but also, of course, questions about ethics and welfare in relation to the ambiguity, and I think this is the interesting thing about the farm, the ambiguity that sits at the heart of the human-animal relationship on the farm. It would be easy to see the relationship as one of utter instrumentality, in which humans dominated, objectified and anonymised herds. That would make sense where lives are bred in order for killing to take place for self-serving human reasons. But as so many studies from so many disciplines have shown us, things are of course much, much more complex than that. The humans who work with animals are often emotionally engaged with them, regard them as fellow workers, as tools, rather than tools of the job, and the relationship is certainly not simply instrumental or not only instrumental. It's also simultaneously affective, engaged, individualising. And this is a world in which those who work with the living animals find it necessary to recognise sentient and impossible to deny personality, and who find it difficult to load up the animals, as Rhoda Wilkie has shown, to load up the animals they've worked alongside to be taken to slaughter, but who find it even more difficult to let someone else do the job. It's a world in which a cow, I'm sorry Lewis, I'm going to rewind, I took a sneak peek at your video when you said it, so I have to look at that. It's a world in which a cow appears to give consent to be milked, of course in a world where it has no other option than giving consent to be milked. The ambiguity of the human-animal relationship in agriculture, where economics butt up against sentiment, where object status and sentience are not in opposition, and in which animals hold a variety of roles as objects, flesh machines, co-workers, friends, makes a multidisciplinary approach to the subject the almost only possible way to get close to figuring, I'm not saying figuring out, I'm saying figuring, what it is that we might have available to us to think when we think about farms. And you see how far I am not saying we can come to any answers about this ambiguity. Over the next day and a half, we'll hear approaches to the question of the farm from a variety of disciplinary perspectives: anthropological, literary, historical, zooarchaeological, geographical, philosophical, sociological. We've also, in the room today, somewhere I think an equine behaviour specialist, so if people get out of line, we know how to train you. We've got a vet, so if anybody gets sick, we should all be okay. And reminding ourselves that we too are just flesh. The toilets are down the corridor and to the right if you need them. So welcome to Farm. I don't think we'll come up with answers, but I'm hoping we might come up with a lot more questions that help us to think interestingly about this central way of thinking about humans and animals. A bit of housekeeping. The toilets are down the corridor. Tonight's reception at the City Chambers is open to everybody. So even if you're not coming to the buffet, please do come. It is a fantastic building. I'm not sure the wine is great, but the building is fantastic. We're going from there at 8 o'clock, 5 minutes walk down towards the river to a pub called the 13th Note, where there is a vegetarian vegan buffet awaiting us. I'm sorry to say, drinks are at your own expense. Did I break that to you when you booked the seat? I'm sorry. Tomorrow's lunch, and I'm just doing the basics here. There is an order for a gluten-free for somebody who has a gluten-free requirement. Please don't eat the gluten-free if you're not a celiac. There are vegan meals ordered. If you're not a vegan, please don't eat the vegan's meal. Everything else is vegetarian, so hopefully everybody will be pleased. The meat eaters can just leave without it. The timings tomorrow from last time are a bit different. We're starting slightly earlier, so we begin at 9:30 in the morning. And we're finishing at 4 at the end of Mara Miela's paper. There is a discussion after that, but it's timed so that I know people may have to rush to get trains and things like that. So if what we'll do is we'll stop at 4 as opposed to let people go if you need to be off to get transferred. And then we'll pick up with a discussion. I sent out an email asking who would be around tomorrow night to have dinner. So could people just raise hands if you're wanting to go? It'll be an early dinner, so. We can discuss curry or vegan later. There's not many of us who can do that option. Okay, the other change from last time, which I decided about, is that because I want to keep as much time for discussion as possible, I want to keep the sessions to time so that we actually finish when the session finishes, it says it's going to finish, so there's long tea breaks. Because I know at conferences, most of the real business happens when you've got a cup of tea in your hand rather than when you're sitting in a paper. No offence to the speakers. So the timings are going to be kept to, and one of the ways we're going to do that this time is that I'm not going to ask the chairs to give big biographical introductions because I think it takes up too much time. So you have in the little scraps of paper you were given as you came in the biographical information of the people. Roxana's came in late, so there's an early version that she'd rather have changed rather than print it out. Sorry. But I am going to introduce with a little bit more length the plenary speakers. So I'll start with Henry Buller, who is sitting here. Henry is, I'm going to say a few things that aren't on the thing that he said.
Good.
So I did some research.